Yes, here to catch you up on the things you need to be caught up on. The big ticket items today are Ed Cavalli.
I'm still thinking about that royal wedding. That was good fun.
Oh, the $2 billion ass you described it as.
Right.
Look, man, look.
What Gordy Tallis is. We talked
Gordy
to him too.
We spoke to him about Origin, Dobbo as well, about who's going to be named and who isn't.
There's we speculated there. On Cocaine Cassie, who we find out is now prostitute Claudia in a Penrith brothel, and someone speculated on how many members of the Panthers may have visited there.
Yes, that was you, and you're not allowed to do that. Okay. We did talk to legal.
So plenty on in the catch-up. Enjoy yourselves.
There were some great games on the weekend, some real good matchups, good fixtures, all real tough ones, but the best one was Sunday. Sunday night, Ed. The best.
Yeah, Channel 7 versus Channel 9, Robin, in the Cocaine Cassie story. They both have been over in Colombia, both shelling out money to anyone even vaguely involved and then saying that they're not. And so it was about who got who. And I'll start with Channel 7's coverage because it's about who you trust, Robin. Who do you trust more? The Channel 7 stable of Manu, the cash cow, Koshy. Versus those creeps over at Channel 9.
How dare you?
I'm going to bat for Channel 7. When they started out with some of the theories as to why Cassie was innocent, and to me this sounds credible.
Is she guilty?
No, not just because she's my fiancé. I believe she's innocent. I believe she's being set up.
A lot of suspicion would point towards Karen and June Dolshall. Oh. Have you tried to find them?
Yeah. I'm getting under the suspicion that there was possibly fake names given. I mean, I've done a lot of research. And,
right, pull it down.
Who are
that's
they?
The boyfriend. The boyfriend that's done a lot of research into other people that may have been involved that are not
with
Cocaine
fake
Cassie.
Names.
With fake names. Okay. Now, I hear you all wondering, because let's not forget that this is her fiancé. This is the person she has pledged her life to. Mm. This is the person she loves. He brought a red rose to prison for Cocaine Cassie.
Red rose. There was Osher over there and handed it to him on the way in.
He is a good guy. And he has got a theory as to, well, what really happened. Here we go.
He expressed himself as a tour guide. He said he's happy to show her around. The man, Angelo, as people know him, they went for a walk. You know, she saw these headphones and she said, you know, I want 10 for my bridal party. And, you know, he said, I know a guy. If you buy 18, I can do it cheaper.
Angelo's done it, Ed.
Mm. Well, I would be searching Colombia far and wide for a man called Angelo who's got easy access to headphones. And it doesn't matter that brand of headphones isn't available in Colombia. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And because it's about love, Robin Bailey, you very cynically think this is about cocaine and trafficking. Mato, you think this is about networks.
Headphones.
It's not. It's about love. It's about a young man who has pledged his wife to a possible sex worker and how much their love will endure.
She's potentially looking at 20 years in prison. What will you do if she gets a sentence like that?
I'll wait. Like, she would do the same for me. So I am willing to be there, you know, through the end.
I will wait for her until the check clears and then I will.
Although he did say on 7 that he didn't get paid. He said that numerous times.
He didn't get paid anyway. Look,
that's only one side of the conversation, because Channel 9 came bursting out of the sheds and they've pointed at that fiancé and said, I think you're involved, Scotty.
Colonel Solder also told us that he wouldn't be surprised if Cassie's fiancé became part of this investigation. The Colombian prosecutor has now confirmed that Scott is an official person of interest.
There you go. Get rid of the credibility.
Cop that. You talk about Angelo, because Channel 9 had their own suspects.
Cassie got into financial strife with her gym business back in Australia. On the website Craigslist, she found someone offering something too good to be true. A loan and a trip to London. But at the last minute, the itinerary was changed to Hong Kong, LA, and then Bogota. In Colombia, her defence team say she met a mystery.
Shut up, whatever your name is on Channel 9.
Liam Bartlett, yes.
Did she get into financial trouble in her gym business?
Listen, there was a gym that wasn't going as well as Cassie may have hoped. I can't speak to why.
Stop it right there, because 9 had the story all nicely packaged up, and then they got some late news about gym personal trainer Cassie.
Going by the name Claudia, her internet profile describes her as 19 years old, classy, fun, and ready to please.
Okay. Now, listen.
Wow.
Listen.
Things.
Yes, Ed.
Classy. What was it?
Fun and ready to please.
And ready to please. Now, look, when I'm looking for a personal trainer or a sex worker, those are always the three things that I'm looking for.
Headphones are a bonus, of course. Listen, let's just check one other thing that Channel 9 had on. I didn't know whether it was a, just have a listen to this guy, because this is their own version of Angelo. Is this an ad for the Meerkats, or is this a cartel member?
She was just an instrument of the drug lords. She's going to have lots of troubles.
Just take these headphones.
What were those Meerkats doing?
Speaking of Origin, it's time to talk team. Because the team's going to be announced. But as usual, our friend Dobbo, NRL Insider, you can also hear him on The Drive Show every day. Dobbo joins us. Hello, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Hello, mate.
You've got the team early, I believe.
Well, look, you know, you've got to join the dots in here. And last night, obviously, you ring around a lot of clubs. And the big news that we understand and I understand is that Billy Slater has been left out of this side.
Good stuff, mate. Yeah, did you watch him last night?
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, well, Darius Boyd, my understanding is, has been given the number one job and that they've moved on from that.
What? Does that mean Holmes and Oates on the wing and no room for Billy Slater?
Justin O'Neill from the North Queensland Cowboys will definitely be down there, which means that they're staying loyal. Oh. Kevin Walters has said they're going to be loyal. Gagai will be one wing. Oates has definitely retained his
spot. But isn't loyalty, surely, Billy Slater needs more loyalty than... I mean, I didn't think those guys did a bad job, but surely Billy Slater has more loyalty than any
Valentine Holmes
Bobo.
Or O'Neill.
Well, I can only say that what I do know is that Justin O'Neill is definitely flying down, which he'll be a centre with Will Chambers.
Oh, how do you do this? It's who's he's flying down from Townsville down to here. You know that.
Yeah, so Michael Morgan, Jonathan Thurston and Justin O'Neill will all fly from Townsville today, which means Will Chambers will be in the centres and Corey Oates will definitely be named along with Darius Boyd.
What's going on with JT? Just go on JT quickly for us because he's not going to be right, is he?
Well, they're going to name him, but they're also going to name an 18th man. Now, last week it was talked about that the 18th man, you know, was not going to be allowed to go into the camp. Wayne Bennett said that. I still believe today that they're going to name Anthony Milford as the 18th man, but he won't join the side till after the Broncos play New Zealand
on Saturday.
Right. Yeah. So Wayne Bennett and obviously Kevin Walters have obviously broken bread over the weekend, and that's been sorted out. My understanding is, but
Dobbo, you talk about flying in and stuff. You think you got Cam Smith and Cooper Kroc? They're definitely in. You're saying Billy might not be. They're flying home from Perth, so they'll be coming straight to Brisbane. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So we got to wait. Somebody should be at the airport to see if Billy Slater hops off that same flight.
Actually, we've got mates that work at the airport because Mato and I are there all the time. If any of the guys that we see whenever we're going through security or any of the people up at the La Qantas Lounge, Mato, or anyone who hangs out at the salad place I sometimes
Slater Steakout we need.
Well, yeah, we need a bit of info today. If you see Billy Slater anywhere near the airport, give us a shout, 133353.
What I can tell you is that 100% is that Darius Boyd will be the fullback for all the game one.
That's outrageous.
Okay. I've let you guys...
No. Right. In fact, there's some big changes. Now, this is people need to realise that Nate Miles, although he's going to be named today, he's in serious doubt.
Good.
He'll have scans today, but there's a fair chance. The good news is there's a young bloke down. There's a Gold Coast player, but he...
That's okay. We might speak to Dobbo later, but I can
hold
see...
on. What was he talking there? Jared Wallace instead
he was going to say,
Nate
I think
Miles.
he was going to say Jared Wallace because he'd sent us our producers a text with some headlines and Wallace was the last one. So I think he's about Nate Miles, look, might be named, but probably won't play. And Jared Wallace is probably a big chance.
I know you guys, like, this is so important
is serious,
and fundamental,
Rob.
And I understand that and I appreciate that. But really, the elephant in the room here with all of that conversation, are we going to win?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, that was not the answer I was expecting.
We've got to see what sort of outfit they come up with. What are they naming theirs at 6:30 New South Wales? They got a few injuries, Rob. We can go on forever about this.
Okay, so it's not a walk in the park, hey, decade of dominance continues conversation.
No. There were years there where it was just going, we just turn up and it was a doddle. But this year, there's...
Okay. Thank you.
So there you go. That's huge news if that's the case.
I can't believe they wouldn't pick Billy Slater.
Not in the Maroons
team. Look, we've got him on our whiteboard. What's wrong with Kevy? He's an idiot if he doesn't pick him.
Still to be named too, so that's just speculation at the moment. But, gee, if it comes into fruition
1 o'clock
later.
It's being named.
Gee, that's going to be massive.
And can I tell you one thing? First time in history, the Origin team's going to be named alphabetically.
Oh, good.
You know they normally go, number one. They are now naming it alphabetically.
I love it. We should do it by star sign next year. And a Pisces.
I know what you're already going to say about this, Mato, but let me say it to you anyway. The headline screams in the Courier Mail. Right. Australia needs to consider whether policies should be developed to encourage disadvantaged families to have fewer children. Now, it's been written up in the latest medical journal by Bond University's Dean of Medicine, a guy by the name of Peter Jones, who is also a practicing paediatrician. And the numbers that he quotes about children in care, he said that during the past 18 years, rates of kids placed in care has more than doubled, and in Indigenous situations more than tripled. There are 43,399 children in out-of-home care, each costing around $70,000 a year.
What a cost for foster children, $70,000. Yep. My God.
So basically he's saying we've got to stop people having kids. If they can't look after them, they have to be stopped. That's a pretty...
What about my idea?
What's your idea?
You've got to be licensed. Now,
what,
they made Kath and I, we were already parents, successful parents of two children. Well, we thought we were going okay. Mm-hmm. We knew what we were doing. And they made us to become foster parents, do 12 three-hour lectures. Every Wednesday night, I used to have to go, and I'd usually be asleep by 9 p.m. because I'd be past my bedtime, to learn how to become a foster parent. Like, somehow you hadn't worked it out yourself over the years that you'd had children. And this is, therefore, before you're allowed to have a child, you have to go to TAFE for 36 hours minimum, and you will then be licensed. Otherwise, you can't have children.
That's really interesting.
So are you... Okay, let me just unpack that a little bit.
All right, you wander the streets and shopping centres and you think about all the fools you see out there who have children who shouldn't have them. If you had to go to a lecture like I had to become a foster parent and you had to be somebody tell you how to be a parent for 36 hours, you'd have people pull out, well, therefore you can't have a licence, you can't have children.
Okay, but how are you going to determine which are those people?
I'll let somebody else sort that. What do you mean, which of these people? I'm saying everybody, every person needs to be licensed. Why not? The world changes in so many ways. I didn't know there was going to be mobile phones 20 years ago. This is a different way of doing things. It's not working now, Robin.
Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I would. I'll be honest with you, I would. Because I've had friends of mine and people I know that have had children when they weren't ready and they were too young or whatever it was, or it was just like almost spur of the moment. I know that sounds ridiculous. And they have since split up. And of course, you know, single parents could do a great job. I was raised by a single mother, but it just seemed like a foolish decision.
That'll be part of the course.
That they hadn't thought
That'll
about.
Be week 10, dealing with a breakup. That'll be part of the course.
That's okay, but I think...
This is not realistic.
Wife's pregnant.
Why not?
My wife's pregnant right now, and if someone told me before you got pregnant that you had to go and do, you know, a series of training exercises, I would have done it, and I would have done it happily because there's so much that you don't know and that you've got no idea about. I don't think that's such a bad idea.
Okay, but you can't police it. How can you possibly...
China did.
How can you possibly make people do a course before they have a baby?
I'm cruising along in my police car and I see some people who, you know, who I don't think look like decent parents pushing a pram. I'm going to say, where's your license?
Obviously, you're in the back seat of that police car.
I'm going to lean out if they haven't
and
got their license on.
And then you'll take children
off
them and then you'll put them into care.
That
and
bit's
we
probably
exactly
a little bit far-fetched, but...
You can't do it. You cannot legitimately...
What's your idea? How are you going to stop 70,000 for how many? Just say 4,000. There's another $50 million that I'm paying for people to have children and just hand them over because they're on ice or whatever.
No. Look, I'm not saying that there isn't a problem, but what you're suggesting is impossible.
What's your solution? You can't bag us and then not have one.
What I would say is that we have to continue to do what we're doing now, which is make sure that those children are okay. You cannot stop people from having sex and having kids. No, you can't.
I think it would be a good idea.
You're going to sterilise someone?
Yeah.
How?
Robin seems vehemently against it, Mato, Ed.
Robin's is the sensible answer, but it ain't working.
Tanya of Ormo, what do you reckon?
I definitely agree with Marta, Robin. Sorry on this one. Having a child, we're given a right to be able to do that. People are abusing it. I think you need a license and you need to satisfy criteria. You need to be mentally stable, financially stable, emotionally stable. You can't just have a child if you're on benefits. If you can't work for whatever reason, right, wrong or otherwise, how can you bring a child into the world? You can't feed that child.
That's a great call, Tanya.
For me to pay you some of my taxpayer money, you've got to show me that. You've got to have done your licence requirements. Otherwise, you ain't getting any money from me because that's my money. That's your money. We all pay tax and we pay too much tax and it's going to people who do not deserve or they shouldn't be getting it.
This is the problem. They keep having these children and that's why we have a lot of the foster care problems and the financial problems that we have. If we invested half of that money into our science and technology and medicine, there's a way to stop people having children or to not stop them completely but give us a criteria test to choose who is capable of raising a child.
That'll put people off as well. Just the fact that they'd have to go and do it, that'll put people off. Thank you, Tanya.
Why do we pay people to have children anyway? Why are we paying people? If you can't afford them, don't have them. We've got lots of people. There's lots of people in the world. Why are we giving people money to have children?
Mr. C from Maruka, should some parents be banned from having kids, Mr. C?
No, this plan is crazy for Cocoa Puffs. Are you serious? I mean, come on.
What's a Cocoa Puff, Mr. C?
A license to have kids. This is the sort of plan the Emperor from Star Wars would come up with.
Hey, Mr. C, you pay tax? You're a taxpayer.
If you had the desire, you could wipe out a culture within a generation.
Hey, mate, you pay tax?
Within a generation.
Okay, you don't want to answer my question. Do you pay tax?
I pay tax, and I would not pay taxes to give the government the right to decide whether certain people can have kids.
Are you happy paying your taxes for idiots to get money to bring up children?
It's risk versus reward. The reward, is there, but the risk for abuse of that kind of power? No, sorry, that's nuts.
Thank you, Mr. C. We're going to have to move on. Here comes George. And George, now, George, you work with foster carers. What's your opinion of this?
It's a contentious issue. I see families that are 8, 9, 10, and in my family, every single one of those children are in foster care. I think that we have the knowledge and the expertise now with a large amount of certainty to assess that a parent is never going to be fit. So after the child, I think we could implement a system where the court can order that person be sterilised, operated on, vasectomy, whatever gender it is.
Now, George, you work with foster carers. This is what I'm talking about. You are at the coalface like Marto has been.
Righto.
So it's fine for people to theorise. But just say what you said at the start. Your phone dropped out. You've seen families that have how many kids that get handed straight to foster care?
Damn, George.
George, your phone sucks. And you're very interesting, George, but your phone's letting us down. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Hang there.
Let's see if we can call him back.
All good.
Have we been on air once with this?
Yes, just once.
We've already had a fucking failure once. Two.
Please don't swear. Here we go. We're still recording. Just ignore that George happened. George never happened. Let's go to Billy from Sunnybank, okay? In 3, 2, 1.
All right. Let's go to Billy from Sunnybank. And you're a social worker who works in child safety. Billy, what do you think about this? Should some people be banned from having kids?
Where I think that some people can't raise their own children, my question is, who makes the decisions who's financially suitable to have children? So where there is a lot of abuse and neglect, that doesn't necessarily mean that happens in low financial homes, because often, particularly with shaken baby syndrome, for example, happens in wealthier communities.
Wow. Well, okay. Billy, you're working in child safety. You're at the coalface. What do we do about all these people having children just for the money?
I personally think that if you have a child that has been taken off you in child safety, then you shouldn't be able to have any more until you get that child back.
So how do you actually do that, though? How do you do that?
You get out of jail.
That's actually a good question, but I think that you shouldn't have kids because kids have been taken away from you. However, when it comes to finances, I think it's unfair to tell someone that maybe they have no right to have a child when it's a human right to do what you want with your body.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Billy. What I think we're talking about here is if there's people who are already on welfare that are having children and then they're using more of those baby bonuses and whatever else it is to sort of keep that going. Thank you, everyone.
Let's talk tradies, Marto, because in today's Courier Mail, they're talking about Cyclone Debbie's $2 billion recovery bill. Do you know that there are 670 homes that have been condemned?
God, yeah. We had a friend from up there. Remember that girl we spoke to while the cyclone was hitting? She stayed with us on Wednesday, Thursday nights last week, still in Brizzy. She doesn't want to live there anymore. She's still got tarp on her roof, all her mates tarps because the builders aren't getting to normal people. They're trying to get the businesses going again before houses get done. So it's awful. They're all depressed up there.
Well, that's one issue. And the second issue is that the builders that are up there, some of them are being called rogue and cowboys because they're charging up to 400% markup on building costs. And then when they're actually doing the job, some of them aren't actually doing it overly well. So these poor people are getting copped. And things like hiring a skip goes from $300 a day to $2,000 a day.
Remember, we said a cyclone and natural disasters represent opportunities for tradesmen.
But, which is okay, but this seems to be something else, Marto. This seems to be people who aren't qualified or aren't doing a good job going up and exploiting people. This seems like it's a bit of a rip-off.
Desperation.
Problem. Yeah, being opportunistic, to say the least. And I ask this question of you, Marto, also not just for the cyclone-affected people, but for people like me, single mums, who have absolutely no idea how to do trade stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know when a trade is good?
Great question.
Recommendations?
But this happens. I don't know. So my wife wants a new range hood, you know, the thing above the stove, because we cook a lot of fish and stuff and it smells the house out. And she's like, look, if we get a bigger range hood, then it'll be better.
What do you do? So, look up in the internet,
that's what I mean, Marto. I don't know anyone who's in the range hood installing industry, so I would have to go, well, first thing I do is ask you, and then if you say you knew someone, but if I don't know anyone, Robin, in that particular industry,
that's right,
I'm flying blind. How could I know?
I never thought of that. So, yeah, if you don't know anyone, because normally if I didn't know anyone, I'd just ring one of my mates and go, who do you use to put in your range hoods? Oh, right. Or if I had trouble with my range hood guy, I'd use one of theirs. Isn't that what you do?
I don't know those people, so I've Googled in the past.
How'd you get your pool guy? Where'd you get him? Did you ask recommendations for people?
So what I did was I got four quotes, and then
So you wasted three people's time.
Yes.
Quotes
were vastly different, and then the guy that I quite liked the most and was answering my questions, I then asked him for the name of someone who he'd done a pool for.
That is what you're supposed to do.
Is it?
Yeah, well, if you don't know them personally or know their work, you've got to have a look at what they've done and ask somebody. They'd only give you a good job. I bet you they never give you a bad job that they did.
Yeah, well, exactly right. But, you know, trap for young players, how do you know? What are the tips to use to get a good tradesperson?
Good one.
I want to know, genuinely. I think it will help a lot of people.
All right, can I ask you one other? Those four quotes, which one did you take, the lowest or the highest, or did you go mid?
I went mid.
Yeah, but I went mid
because in my gut, I felt like he was the right guy, which is a bit ridiculous.
Gut feeling,
I know,
tradesman.
Even when I say that. Well, no, I just liked him and I thought that he was answering the questions the way I needed them.
Would you go for the tradesman with the best ute, best looking ute? Would you look at their ute if they had a crap ute beaten up? So that's the one I'd always go for.
It wouldn't occur to me to look at the ute. So is that a tip?
Well, it is for me because I want, like, my Tyler is an old Spanish bloke with a beaten up ute, doesn't spend any money on anything. That's what I like.
Oh.
I thought you'd go for the guy with the really flash ute because he's got a lot of money because he's doing a job properly.
Show pony.
Compensating.
Oh, my God. See, how are we supposed to know this stuff?
I don't
ask
other people. That's just me and you. I don't know. There's probably better ways of doing it.
Let's go. What are the tips? Give us your tips on how to pick a good tradie. If you are a good tradie, how do you get your work? How do people find out about you? Look, people, you can see this as a chance to plug your business, and that's okay.
How do you pick a good tradie from a dud tradie?
Well, you know, I think it's a really important question. And not just tradies too, but like handy people. people that can come and fix stuff that I can't do because I can't get up there, you know? Anyway, we're asking you
That's from your
guys.
Side. Now, can I just mention, as a builder of many years, and we were always renovating carpenters, we only did 4 or 5 new houses in our whole lot, in my whole career. We were always doing renos. It was always word of mouth. It was always we had to know somebody because I always worried about people not paying us. So I wanted to know that I knew somebody who knew that person. It was always word of mouth.
Wow. I hadn't even thought about the fact that you have to trust the people that are employing you as well.
God, yeah. Well, we don't know what you're like. Have you got any money? Who's this one? I used to look. For a while, we got stuck working around Ascot because we'd look in the garage and go, couple of mercs in there. We're onto it.
Peter of Hendra. Hey, Pete.
Oh, morning. Sorry about that. I was taking a swig of drink.
Oh, hey. Nice. What was it, mate? Mother?
No, just Diet Coke.
Okay, yeah, me too.
My tip is presentation.
Ooh, in what way?
Well, if they're, you know, they don't have to be a shirt and tie sort of thing, but if they're nicely dressed or, you know, they got a, you know, they can have an old ute or something like that as long as it's kept fairly tidy or something like that.
Do you want a tradesman who all workers? I noticed my young bloke working, the bloke he works for, they've got all their own shirts. I never had that.
Oh.
Yeah.
You like that sort of thing?
That sort of thing. And, you know, my grandfather was a mechanic, and one thing he sort of implored, and I got into it, if I got to get my car serviced, I like to look into the area where they're working.
Yep. Really clean and tidy and everything organised.
Yeah, that's it. Doesn't have to be modern as long as it's clean and tidy and organised.
Thank you, Pete. That's good. There we go. There was a builder that came around a little while ago to our place, and when he left, Tiff said he was good. And I was like, he was handsome, Tiff. It's different.
Go, Tiff.
One of the blokes from the block.
Paul of Hope Island, what's your tip?
Yeah, g'day, Robin. You didn't get a quote off me. I'm a swimming pool builder, but I'll give you the tip. it's all social media. On your Facebook page, you've got a rating system you can activate. Oh. And people leave referrals, which can't be doctored by the pool builder. And so basically they'll leave a comment and leave a 5-star rating. Wow. So that's a real true indication of what all their previous customers.
That's good, Paul. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, so... Yep.
Paul, plug your business, buddy. What's it called?
Time Pools, Robin.
There you go, Time Pools for your next pool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul.
Just got one. Thanks.
Your spa.
Kayla of Brassel, what's your tip?
Hi, guys. My tip is if you're a woman, get your bloke or dad to do your bidding for you. Kind of like getting a mechanic.
Oh, really? That's still going on, Kayla?
Yes, it is, of course.
Yeah.
I agree. And I don't have a bloke or someone that can do my bidding for me, but the media can often be a good thing to scare people with. But
you got
to.
Righto.
But I agree with that. It's true. Often tradies just don't want to talk to the chicks.
So don't get me to do it. I'll just be like, yeah, mate, what is it? When do you start? Can I go back to bed?
You're a dream, Ed. You just say yes to everything.
So, Robin, do you mention that you know Tracy Grimshaw, you wouldn't want to rip me off, that style of thing?
No. I know Mardo.
Oh, yeah, that'll help. Yeah, righto. Hey, let's go one more. Tony from Newmark, what do you do, mate? Which side of the story are you on?
I'm a tradie, but... Oh, I'd say just if he's available, there's a reason he's available right now. So just be prepared to wait for someone good. Don't be in a hurry.
That's use interesting. That time.
If you know, I've got 4 or 5 jobs booked up. Good. You know, wait for him. He's worth waiting for.
If he's busy,
if you don't want to waste his time, get him. Be well researched before you get him out for a meeting. Make it a good, thorough meeting, and then follow up phone calls. But don't get him back for 16 meetings. You'll put them off the job.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's fair. Okay, you got a business, Tony, you want to plug?
No, I don't really deal with the public because I don't pay their bills.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
People used to say to me, why haven't you got a business card? Because the worst thing, if you hand it out, people end up ringing you. If you're a good tradesman, you don't need people ringing you.
They're right, no website either.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's all word of mouth. I've learned something today.
Oh, that's brilliant. Tony,
Tony's either a plumber or he works for ASIO. Either way.
Could be both.
Might they charge. It is the new Triple M.
Something I've been dying to talk about all morning, and that is your boys take on the royal wedding. Well, not the royal wedding. Pippa Middleton, Kate's sister's wedding to James Matthews over the weekend.
Oh, I liked it. I loved it. I loved reading about it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your take home from it? If you were watching it and looking at it and reading about it, what stuck for you?
What's the young bloke's name? Prince George. If I was him and all those other little kids, I'd be very concerned those outfits. Like, but that's what kid photos are for, to be embarrassed later, isn't it?
Oh, they're shocking.
Robin, what about you? Because I want to ask about the husband in a moment, but what was your takeaway from the whole thing? What did you like about it?
I love the dress. I thought she was really classy.
Mm. Yep.
I thought that the royal children behaved well, which is apparent if you have small children at a wedding. I was sure that we were going to have a temper tantrum.
Did you see the nanny, what she was wearing? The nanny looked like something out of Nazi Germany in the 40s. Did you see it? The nanny came running across and it looked really old-fashioned.
They like that. They do that whole look. I couldn't see any bridesmaids. I was hanging to see the bridesmaids. All I just saw were the little kids. But and I thought that Kate was so conservative and slightly dowdy.
Now, let me ask you this. So there's an old theory which goes that brides sometimes, particularly if it's their sister or something like that, will make bridesmaids and whatever else and the other women around look worse so that
Hell
they look
yes.
better
That's
in their wedding
dress. That's not just a theory, is it, Robin? That's
no.
true.
I thought that Kate looked pretty terrible. She was wearing curtains. She was wearing brown curtains and a hat. She
I reckon
terrible.
Kate would have been happy with that, take one for the team, because she's been the outstanding one and her little sister, and they look like they're good
fair.
Mates.
That's fair. That's fair.
Look at these two.
All right, let's move. Can we move quickly,
especially
Robin?
Pippa's bum.
Now, hang on. Don't do that.
You
don't do that yet.
See
now,
Pippa's bum.
Can I ask
anyway, yes, keep going.
I have a question about the husband. So she's married this bloke who looks like a... You know, a sort of a foppish English sort
a
of
dweeb.
Yeah.
And as
James
Tiff described,
Matthews.
Do you see what he's worth?
Him, what's he worth?
I just looked it up. $2.5 billion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw a millionaire. I didn't know he was a billionaire.
Give me some of the things that his family owns, please, Marta.
They own, you know, down in the West Indies, they own complete islands that have $5,000 a night hotels that they own. He was a professional racing car driver, whatever that means, had his own team, mate. And now he's a hedge fund manager. And Robin did ask a good question before.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's just using other people's money to make money for yourself, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. Here is my theory. It's my wife and I's theory, and it's something that I think about. Robin, you've got sons who are sort of late teenagers. Marta, you have a daughter, a beautiful daughter, Hilly, who's...
I've got to tell you about her tomorrow. She ran at Aaron Woods on Friday night at Fridays here in Brizzy.
You're my dad.
Let's get to that tomorrow.
That's a real...
Yeah, okay,
distractor.
And your theory is?
Remembered.
My theory is that Pippa Middleton, and I'm going to use a word that starts with A, Pippa Middleton has a $2 billion ass. The moment that she attracted that husband and secured herself a $2 billion future, Marto.
Hold on. How long have they known each other? I like this.
Was when she bent down to help her sister with her wedding dress on the day, and the whole world couldn't believe her beautiful figure in that white dress and her ass.
That was the bait.
Yep, that was the moment, Robin. That bending down was worth $2 billion.
Actually, you may be onto something because they got together very quickly after the royal wedding. Then they broke up, right? Yeah. And then they got back together again and have been together for about 3 years.
So he's watching that wedding on TV and rang one of his mates who would have known one of their mates and gone, get me one of those. I'm rich, you know.
And then he realised what she was like, thought, I maybe could do better.
Well, she went was doing triathlons, wasn't she?
Yeah, yes. Went out into the pack, realised that actually she was better than what he thought, went back again and off you go.
Go to his internet history and you will find YouTube, wedding ass, the second before he rings her back to say, let's get back together. There's a message in this.
What is that?
We can talk about equality, Robin. We can talk about love me for who I am. Yeah. We can write as many mummy blogs. Mm. We can write as many dissertations on the changing nature of body image. We can spend $1 billion on obesity in hospitals. We can do what we want. We can all have the best personalities in the world.
But
at the end of the day, Robin Bailey, if you want to get $2 billion out of a bloke, have a cracking ass.
Mm. Great theory.
Well said.
I'm
getting
John
that
Laws.
Tattooed on my I'm getting that tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. I was just about to say, and what 1950s, you know, things.
Did
you
it
just
work?
Crawl
Robin
out
Bailey?
Of.
Still
did it
works
work?
In England.
Did it work?
I'm not gonna you know what? If it works in England, good luck to them. But I am not gonna endorse that here in Australia. Sorry.
Saturday's paper, the headline says, come on, Wayne, it's all becoming embarrassing. And that is why I love Gordon Tallis. He's prepared to have a crack at Wayne Bennett. Hi, Gordy.
How you going, mate? I tell you, because I get up on Thursday and I fly and I hear that Milford's got to grow up. I'm thinking, well, that's really strong and that's the coach. And Wayne's not a bloke that normally used to, you know, air his dirty laundry about his players. And I come home on Friday and I read the same paper and it says that there's no way he's going to go into Queensland camp. And I'm thinking to myself, the greatest way to learn how to be a footballer would be to hang around Cameron Smith, which is the most winning player, the kicking game of Cooper Cronk. And then if Thurston's not there, to walk through a training session with Thurston and see the way he's going to play. It can only help you as a rugby league player. So, you know, I just think that it was a little bit hypocritical when Wayne had an England side out about 2 weeks earlier and had about 20 out of
So do you think it's about him trying to scare Queensland off? Because Kevin Walters is someone that he's known forever.
Yeah.
Well, and is he trying to just sort of get in first so that they try and make Kevy not pick him? Why would he do that?
Well, I don't know, because I remember Mel Meninga had to front him because Mel always thought that he was undermining Mel too when Mel was the Queensland coach.
Yeah,
and then
right. And
then don't forget Wayne last year. He didn't want Mel to get the Australian job. He wanted it.
Oh,
he didn't
right.
want Kevy. He said Kevy wasn't good enough and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know, but Kevy's the man for the job. I've never played with a more winning guy, a more passionate guy. Don't worry about the jokes. He knows his footy.
Yeah,
and this is a really, really tough time for Queensland because all these legends are all moving on and, you know, he needs those young kids to come in and know what Origin's about. So I just think, Wayne, your Queensland coach of the century, just act like a Queenslander and, you know, and give, mate, because if I'm coaching a footy side, every Queenslander that I have can go into Origin camp.
Gordy, I know you'll support whoever Queensland pick because that's who you are as an Origin legend. But we just heard, we're hearing from Dobbo earlier this morning that Billy Slater will not be picked in the team at number one. Darius Boyd will be there. No Billy Slater. Yeah. Is that possible? Because I've watched him play the last 6 weeks. He's been magnificent.
Absolutely. Look, Billy Slater has got back. He's unbelievable. Darius Boyd is playing. He's in the best form of his life.
Well, who cares? Put him on the left wing. Where he scored so many tries.
Do you know what? And he has been there before, and he said that he would play there. So I would pick Billy Slater at number one. There's no doubt. Billy Slater has changed the way the number one's played. Billy Slater will have a statue. Billy Slater's the best fullback ever to play the game.
Jeez.
Darius is brilliant. Darius is very close to him. But I would have Billy back there.
These boys have been completely consumed this morning by the State of Origin team. Whenever there is a song or the news, it's all they've been discussing. However, when I asked them, is it going to be a walk in the park? Are we going to win? They were slightly
sheepish,
underwhelming. So I ask you the same thing. Isn't this going to be an easy win for Queensland?
No. I wish, Robin. I have never been confident. I've always said I'll take half a point on Origin night. To win a game, I'd always take half. I think it's going to be a tougher series. Thurston is no guarantee of playing. And then we got no Matt Scott. And Matt Scott has been our rock. And then Nate Miles got hurt. And I know that Nate doesn't...
That's good.
That'll be good.
You know, but anyway, we are Queenslanders and we'll rise to the challenge and they put on that jersey and they've never let us down.
That's right, Gordy.
You do not fill me with anything at all, Gordy Tallis.
Do you know what? I'll go to training and I'll look at the boys in the eyes and I get confident after about 10 or 15 minutes into the game when I watch them perform. But I'm nervous, Robin. This is the only game of the year where I actually feel like putting on boots. I sit on the edge of the seat and I go back to that 10-year-old kid sitting with my dad on the couch thinking, I want to play with these guys.
Gordy Tallis, we'll hear you on the M's. We'll see you on Fox Sports. We'll read you.
I'd rather Gordy in the team than Nate Miles. There you go.
Wow.
No, please don't.
What size jumper? All right, Gord, we will see you very soon, my friend. Look, I'm fascinated by this story, the 165 alleged million-dollar scam emerging in and around the ATO. There's links to the son of one of the ATO deputy directors. And joining us now, crime reporter Daily Telegraph. You can read his stuff, news.com.au as well. Nick Hansen. Hey, Nick, over the weekend, there were reports of phone taps between this bloke, the guy from the ATO, and his son. What was in those phone taps, Nick?
Yeah, that's right, Ed. It's fairly troubling stuff, all still alleged conversations at this stage, but terribly troubling stuff, obviously, for Michael Cranston, the Deputy Commissioner of the ATO, whose son has been placed at the part of this $165 million tax fraud scheme. The taps were recorded on three conversations in the last, in the sort of month or so before the arrests. And he was reported to have said things along the lines of, you could be the subject of search warrants, and expressing, you know, his concern about how serious the issue may have been, saying, where, in terms of the tax office, we're so good at connecting people, that's what's worrying me about it. And at one point he says, son, he effectively says, son, we need a plan.
Son, we need a plan. Wow, okay. That's
But if they're being phone tapped, doesn't that also say that they were, you know, the tax office was onto them for a while?
Yes, it does. But this was only sort of a month or so ago. And don't forget, the AFP have to gather enough evidence on these people to get a, you know, with a court case, a future court case in mind. So it's absolutely, you know, delicate stuff. They've got to gather as much and as serious evidence as they can. So no doubt at this stage they were, you know, these people knew they were, the noose was perhaps tightening, and perhaps they were starting to spook a little bit.
Hey, Nick, you're not suggesting that the old man, Michael Cranston from the ATO, that he wasn't involved from the start. They were doing their own thing and then said, hey, Dad, can you give us a hand with this? I think somebody's snooping around in our business. Is that more like how it went down?
That's right, and very important to point out, Marto, it was, we've got a story today that shows that when the AFP went on these raids last Wednesday, 28 raids across New South Wales, took in all this extraordinary evidence and proceeds of crime, they did have in mind, or at least in their considerations, fraud charges for Michael Cranston, but they have said categorically now they are not charging him with fraud.
Uh-huh.
That was being prudent. So his charge is abusing his position in public office, not fraud.
That's much less, surely.
Hey, talking to Nick Hanson, crime reporter, dailytelegraphnews.com.au about this alleged...
their family's still stuff, though, Ed, aren't they?
Oh, it doesn't look, mate. It does not look good. I don't know if you can continue as a deputy director of the ATO if this is what's taking place. Now, just some of the things... Nick, can you tell us about some of the things that have been seized? Because I've seen that they've gone for, like, really expensive property in Sydney. I mean, every piece of property in Sydney is expensive. But there's, like, is there office blocks as well and cars?
Oh, what?
There was 18 residential properties that we know of. Some of them waterfront, and as you say, no piece of real estate in Sydney goes cheaply. Yeah. But don't forget, Adam Cranston was the proud owner of a racing car team as well, the Cinep race team that raced in the one of the no, that's not cheap. And of course, overseas holidays. Alleged mistresses or alleged relationships overseas, and dozens of cars and $15 million in cold hard cash was also seized.
It's quite ridiculous. I mean, when you're starting to make the Parramatta Eels board look good, that's when you know you're in trouble. Nick Hanson, the crime reporter from the Daily Telly. You can read his stuff at news.com.au or in the Daily Telly or in the Courier Mail. Mate, we'll speak to you again soon. This is a feisty one. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. See you later.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
Jesus.